St. Catherine of Siena once described a conversation that she had with the Lord in prayer, where Jesus spoke the following words to her: "I am he who is, and you are she who is not." Now, when we hear these words today, I think sometimes we might be tempted to think, at least somewhere, "Wow, Jesus, that sounds a little harsh. Don't you care about my self-esteem? What do you mean by I am not? That I'm not holy enough? Not successful enough? Not productive enough? Not what enough, Lord? What am I not enough? Why do you say that I am not?" But that is not what Jesus meant when he said these words to St. Catherine of Siena. And we know that because when St. Catherine first heard these words in prayer, "I am he who is, and you are she who is not," she did not feel the least bit offended, disappointed, or belittled at all. No, quite the opposite. She found joy and freedom in those words. She could say from the bottom of her heart, "Yes, God, you are he who is, and I am she who is not." So on this Gaudete Sunday, when the church encourages us all to rejoice, I think that we can and should rejoice in that wonderful and seemingly paradoxical truth that we are small and yet so important, that we are very nearly nothing, and yet God sent his Savior for us, that our life isn't about us, that we are in fact not. We depend utterly on God, and our identity is based completely in him. St. John the Baptist is a fantastic role model for this humble, "I am not" mentality. In today's gospel passage, the priests and the Levites come to the Baptist in order to ask him a bunch of questions, right? They ask him first, "Well, are you the Christ?" And he replies very bluntly, in a way that would be impossible to misinterpret. It wasn't ambiguous at all. He says, "I am not the Christ." So they shoot back another question. "Well, then, are you Elijah?" And he again replies, "I am not." They ask once again, "Are you then the prophet?" The prophet that we're waiting for. And John says once more, "Nope, I am not." You can almost catch in John's blunt and forceful replies a deep joy that he is none of these things. There's no shred of regret, no hint that he would prefer to be the Christ himself. He's content to be who he is. He's happy to be very nearly nothing, to be only the lowly little precursor to Jesus, only the bridegroom's friend, only the one who points the way, the one who testifies to the light. He joyfully proclaims, "I am not the light that you are looking for." This is what I love about St. John the Baptist. He doesn't pretend to be anything more than what he actually is. He does not exaggerate or stretch the truth. Well, over and over again, John the Baptist finds the strength and the freedom and the peace and the joy to declare openly, "I am not." There's so much pressure out there today to be more than what we really are. There are so many opportunities for us to puff up our pride. We gotta pad the resume. We gotta beef up our credentials. We gotta prove that we are worth having as a friend, or as a coworker, or as a significant other. We gotta earn our own way, beat out that competition, establish ourselves. In a word, we feel pressure to keep saying over and over and over again, "I am, I am, I am, I am this, I am that." We define ourselves by what we say that we are. And this, I think, is why we need to beg our Lord especially this Advent, for the virtue of humility. Humility is a very misunderstood virtue today, unfortunately. When we think about being humble, we usually assume that involves putting ourselves down or thinking that we're miserable, terrible people with absolutely nothing to offer anyone, that God is mad at us for some reason, and that we should feel bad about who we are. But C.S. Lewis masterfully flips that lie from the devil on its head when he says, humility is not about thinking less of ourselves, but about thinking about ourselves less. One of my favorite books, Divine Intimacy, it's like a daily devotional for throughout the whole liturgical year, describes humility in this way. Christian humility does not lower, it elevates. It does not cast down, but gives courage. For the more it reveals to the soul its nothingness, its notness, the more it moves the soul toward God with confidence and with abandonment. And that, I think, is the kind of humility that we find, yes, in John the Baptist, but also in the Blessed Virgin Mary, more than anywhere else. Our psalm today was not really a psalm, sorry. It was actually words from the Gospel of Luke. We find the song of Mary, her Magnificat. That's the song that she sang after visiting her cousin Elizabeth, who, as we know, was pregnant at the time with John the Baptist. After John leaps in his mother's womb, as if to say once again, I am not, but he is, and he's right there in Mary's womb. I'm going to jump for joy to show you the way, to point out somewhere else. Don't look at me, look over there. That's when Mary bursts into her song, into her rejoicing in the Lord. She says, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. That is really important. Mary is able to say, on the one hand, that she is truly God's lowly servant. She's the handmaid of the Lord. She's able to say in all humility, I am not, while simultaneously saying, from this day all generations will call me blessed. That's humility too, because it's true. She really will be called blessed for all eternity. She's the queen of all the angels and saints. She's able to say things like that. She's able to come to Lourdes and tell little Bernadette, I am the Immaculate Conception, because all of Mary's good comes from God. And she knows it. She knows who she is. And she gives credit where credit is due. She doesn't put herself down. She doesn't waste time putting herself down. She spends all of her effort putting God up, lifting him up, pointing to him. So in the end, Mary's song communicates the same exact message that St. Catherine of Siena received in her contemplative prayer. God is he who is, and I am she who is not. But our Blessed Mother, just like Catherine, rejoices in that fact, rejoices in God. And I think that that is the secret to authentic Christian joy. It's not a fake, smiley, like everything's fine kind of joy. It's rather the joy that is convinced that the heavy burden is off of our backs, that we do not have to be in control, that we don't have to have all the answers, that we don't have to know everything. We can joyfully be nothing, because God is our everything, and he will help us to walk in trust. So we can turn to John the Baptist and to Mary, and we can allow them to point the way. Allow John the Baptist to direct our attention over and over again. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. I'm not the Lamb of God. He is. Stop looking at me. Look over there. Follow him. It's precisely this phrase I am not that is constantly falling from the Baptist lips that actually paves the way for the great I am of Jesus. There is one among you whom you do not recognize, John says. One coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. One who will say in all humility and truth, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. Before Abraham was, I am. This Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the same God who spoke to Moses from the heart of that crazy burning bush, saying those crazy words that just echo down through the centuries, don't they? I am who I am. God is, and we are not. But if we are in Him, we can live. We can have joy in our hearts. We can actually say Gaudete, and it actually means something. So as we come before this God of the I Am, how can we not fall down as Jesus breaks the bread for us again? How can we not fall down on our knees in reverence and in humility and reply with all kinds of joy just exploding in our souls? I am not.